I'm going to briefly share with you a few thoughts from the book of Acts. So if you want to turn to Acts chapter 1, just to give you a bit of a background to the book of Acts, Luke was the writer. Luke also wrote the Gospel of Luke. Luke was a doctor and he was a fellow labourer with the Apostle Paul. Paul tells us that Luke was a doctor in Colossians 4:14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Luke was a travelling associate of the Apostle Paul. Acts 28 verse 16, and when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that had kept him. Luke wrote the book of Luke, and also Luke wrote the book of Acts. And he wrote those two books for a single guy, a man that we know of, called Theophilus. I don't know whether he's single or married, but I meant a single person, a man called Theophilus. Luke 1 verse 3 says, "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." So we see that he writes to Theophilus there in Luke, and in Acts 1 verse 1 we find Theophilus again. The former treatise, so the former book of Luke, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." It's believed that Theophilus was possibly a Roman official, a Gentile. Now, Theophilus was very fortunate because Luke took extensive time to write to him two accounts: the account of the Lord Jesus Christ and the account of God working by his Holy Spirit in the early church. And if you've read the book of Luke and you've read the book of Acts, you will find that if you were Luke, it would have taken you some time to write those accounts down to this one person. But Luke took that time. He took that time to inform Theophilus of Jesus and to inform Theophilus of how God was working after the resurrection, after Jesus had ascended into heaven, how God was working through the church by the power of his Holy Spirit. There is Luke, a faithful man informing another man about the work of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit in this world. I want you to consider this year to grab a Theophilus. Who is your Theophilus for this year? Grab a Theophilus. Write a letter. Give out an invitation. Make a phone call. Send an email. Send a fax. All these other modern things you can do these days. Use a way to invite a person to the Lord Jesus. Use a way to start discipling a person. Narrow down one person, if not only one, maybe three, up to ten, as many as you can handle. But choose a Theophilus and start praying for that person. And start ministering to that person. It may not be with the word to start off with. It might be a word of kindness. It might be a visitation. But choose a Theophilus and start praying for them, and with your aim of revealing to them who Jesus is, with the aim of revealing that God is working today in the midst of his people through the church by his Holy Spirit. Choose a Theophilus to change their life for all eternity. Choose a Theophilus so that God might work through them and use them to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the most fantastic, most wonderful message that anyone can inform anyone else of, and that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God created this wonderful world and he sent his only Son to die on a cross for our sins. And we who are estranged from God, we who did not want God in our lives, God came and intervened in the person of his Son to this world and died on the cruel cross of Calvary so that we might be saved, we might be redeemed, so that we might have a hope of eternity beyond this earth, a hope where we'll be with our Saviour in glory. A hope where we will worship with the throngs of ages past of people that have bowed their knee to God their Creator and to Jesus as Saviour. Choose a Theophilus to reveal the wonderful works of God and God's very nature and character. It's thought that Acts was written between 61 and 64 AD, and so some 64 years after Christ was born, Luke is still ministering through his word. And he ministers today some 2,000 years later because he wrote two books to a man called Theophilus. Think about that. Luke thought, oh, there must be a man I've got to reach. He's Theophilus. I don't know how he met him or whatever. But I'll write to him about Jesus. I'll write to him about the Spirit's work in the church. And Luke would never have dreamed of that 2,000 years later, people are still being encouraged by his words and his work in God's word. It's estimated that Luke, when he wrote his gospel, the book of Luke, when he wrote it to Theophilus, it would have been on a scroll 25 feet long, which is about 7 metres in length. How extensive, how committed he was to witnessing to that person. I believe that really only eternity will reveal the extent of our work in reaching others for the Lord Jesus. We've all heard of D.L. Moody, the great evangelist. Not many people have heard of Edward Kimball, but Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher, and Edward Kimball had on his heart to reach D.L. Moody, who came into his Sunday school. And Edward Kimball was a very humble man, a shy fella. And Edward Kimball one day decided that he would go and visit his student, D.L. Moody, at his workplace. D.L. Moody was 17 years of age. He worked at a shoe shop. And so Edward Kimball, as timid as he was, decided that he would go to the workplace and talk to D.L. Moody about the Lord Jesus. Kimball, in his writing, says, "I started down to Holton's shoe store. When I was nearly there, I began to wonder whether I ought to go just then, during business hours, and I thought maybe my mission might embarrass the boy. I found Moody in the back part of the store wrapping up shoes in paper and putting them on shelves. I made my plea, and I feel that it was really a very weak one. I don't know just what words I used, nor could Mr. Moody tell. I simply told him of Christ's love for him and the love Christ wanted in return. That was all there was of it. I think Mr. Moody said afterwards that there were tears in my eyes." There in that shoe store, the young Moody gave himself to Christ at the age of 17. Moody decided that he would go to the regular church Sunday school, offer himself for service. From memory, in reading about his biography, they weren't too interested in D.L. Moody. He didn't actually speak that proper. Not that good with his English, and he was sort of shunned. And so D.L. Moody went out, seen a movie about his life. He went out to the railway tracks and he saw kids to come in that weren't normally in church, and eventually D.L. Moody founded his own Sunday school. And you know the history of D.L. Moody. It's estimated that he won 1 million people to Christ over a 40-year period. D.L. Moody had some great sayings. He said, "We ought to see the face of God every morning before we see the face of man." He said, "God doesn't seek for golden vessels and does not ask for silver ones, but he must have clean ones." Moody said, "We are told to let our light shine, and if it does, we won't need to tell anybody it does. Lighthouses don't fire cannons to call attention to their shining, they just shine." Preach the gospel to 1 million people. Edward Kimball, when he went to the store that day, would never ever have estimated that his witnessing to a young man of 17 years of age would have been the entrance of a young man into the kingdom of Christ that would preach the gospel to 1 million people. Kimball had a Theophilus. His Theophilus was D.L. Moody. Who's your Theophilus? Luke writes two books. for one man, Theophilus. And we're still reading his work today. Thank God that Luke took the time to write to Theophilus of a Saviour whose name is Jesus, and of the good news of great joy for all people. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. He writes to Theophilus of the work that the Lord Jesus Christ was doing by his Spirit through the church. Can I just challenge you from that first verse to find a Theophilus, to invest your life in an unbeliever, and to trust God for the results and the rewards. December this year, I was in Lightning Ridge with a friend of mine, and we were out there to teach scripture. And we were doing some Christmas scripture teaching. We were teaching the primary school kids, and then we were there to teach kids that were in the high school as well. We had a bit of a break during our day, and so I said to my friend James, I said, what we should do is go around Lightning Ridge and see what we can see very quickly. And so we did that, and we came to Lightning Ridge Castle. Has anyone seen Lightning Ridge Castle? It's a big castle in Lightning Ridge there. An old Italian man has been creating this masterpiece for many years, and mainly it's inhabited with cats. You go there, there are cats everywhere in this castle. And we met a man, and he talked to us, and we looked around at a few other places, but we went on one of these tours that you drive right around Lightning Ridge, and you follow these different coloured doors. They're called door tours or something. I think it was a yellow door tour we went on, and we ended up at a place called Lunatic Hill. And we go to Lunatic Hill, and we see this great open-cut mine in Lunatic Hill. And we look down, and you can see where years ago the bulldozers would have gone down, and they would have carved out all the ground and found the opal. As you look at Lunatic Hill, the open cut mine is fenced off. But we looked over the open cut mine, and then we turned around and we saw this old double decker bus and a camp. The kids out there who live in Lunatic Hill and other places, they live on what they call camps. And the camps are, their dad or mum might be miners, and they might have a bus or whatever, and there's all sorts of sheds and shacks and everything, not many modern houses there. And we looked and we saw this camp. And near the camp, a guy had set up this corrugated iron type shed where he was sitting there with his dogs. And it was sort of, I think it had hessian and iron, and it was out in the heat, it was so hot, and there was this old bearded guy just sitting there with his dogs, and he had a few opals on display with in texture and cardboard, I think he'd written the prices of them. And as people went to Lunatic Hill Mine and overlooked the open cut, he would hopefully catch some of the people that were coming back, and he'd try and sell them the opals or the rough cut stones that he had there. We began to talking to him. His name was Brian. And Brian told us his story, that years ago there was going to be a syndicate of 12 people that were going to form together to mine Lunatic Hill. And Brian was asked to go on the syndicate, to be part of this syndicate so they could mine. And Brian refused. He didn't want to go in the syndicate of 12. The mine's about 20 metres away from his shack. And he told us that they started mining, and they dug and they dug and they dug at Lunatic Hill, and the receivers were about to be called in to take over, I guess, whatever machinery the syndicate had. And it was at the last hour when they finally struck opal. And Brian said to us that they pulled out over $100 million worth of opal. If you go to Lightning Ridge today, you will find Brian and his dogs trying to sell opal worth between $40 and $100. He told us he had an opal that was worth $200, but he needed the money, so he sold it for $50. You have a man there that sits in the heat with his dog at Lunatic Hill that missed an opportunity. It would have been the greatest financial opportunity of his life, but he refused to go into it. I believe that you and I, who have the gospel, have the greatest opportunity to be harvesting for the future as we reach out to souls in Newcastle and beyond. An opportunity that we don't even dream of, that we don't even grasp of, that in many cases we won't even take because we're not believing in the power of God's Holy Spirit as He works through His Word, as He works through His Word that He's designed and ordained to bring people into His kingdom. Jesus said before He left this earth in Acts 1 verse 8, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Every Christian, I believe, needs to be investing in God's kingdom. A kingdom, I believe, at large, which is invisible, that we don't see the results now, but eternity will reveal to us a harvest of souls as we seek to reach out to the Theophiluses in the world around us. Brian sits as a pauper on Lunatic Hill, and there are many Christians today that sit as paupers in their churches because they've refused to be involved in the work of the gospel. May I challenge you today, in that one man Luke wrote two books to one man Theophilus, and the fruit that the book of Luke and the book of Acts, the fruit that it has, is going on for eternity. And Luke would never have known what fruit his work would have brought by writing two letters to a man called Theophilus and encouraging him to see Jesus, encouraging him in the book of Luke to know that Jesus was the Saviour of the world, and encouraging him to know that God was working in this world by the power of His Holy Spirit, as the Spirit worked in the early church. I truly believe what Paul wrote to Timothy, that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. If there's only one mediator, then you and I must do all that we can to reach others so that they meet the mediator and so that they come to Christ as their Lord and Saviour. God promises that He will give us rewards for the fruit of our labour. May we seek a Theophilus this week and in the weeks beyond. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank You that You work through the preaching of Your word. You work through Your people as they seek to be light and salt in this lost world. And Father, I pray as our ministry here today begins together, Lord, that we would see much fruit, that we would be sowing for eternity, that we would not be disillusioned with the world today that would diminish the work of the gospel and the preaching of Your holy word. Lord, let us take hold of Your word and help us realise it's not by our own power, but it is indeed by Your Spirit that You will bring forth fruit. Encourage us this day, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.